Hey, welcome to Married Mash. This is a podcast for married couples, a couple's guide to whiskey tasting. Starting out, we thought we'd introduce ourselves. This is my husband, Leighton.
Hello.
He's a little shy on the mic, but that's okay. We have been married now for over 25 years. We'll just leave it at that. We have three children, two adult kids. One's about to get married. One's a senior in college. And our youngest is a senior in high school. So we've come far, and that's probably why we drink a lot of whiskey.
Yes. We're almost empty nesters.
Almost empty nesters. Ooh. Let's not go there just yet. But once we're empty nesters, that leaves a lot of money for purchasing of beverages.
And the bourbon trail.
And the bourbon. Yes. Our goal, our dream, dare I say, is a bourbon trail. But we'll get to that. Hopefully, maybe we'll take y'all along with us when we go through this exciting time of our lives while we drink whiskey. So you're probably thinking, why in the world are this married couple doing a podcast? And I thought, why not? Why not combine two things we love? That is, each other.
Yes.
Leighton, you'll find out, is a man of many words. We have each other, and that's where the married mash comes from. We are our own little mashup in this world of who we are in our relationship. So it gives us a chance to come together and chit-chat face-to-face and talk about something that we have grown to love doing together.
Yeah, and just for those that don't know, the mash is actually, they call it a mash bill that makes up actually the whiskey, like when they're actually fermenting it and before they distill it.
Yes, and we have a mash of marriedness.
And I'll throw a disclaimer out there. I am not an expert, but I am an expert in drinking whiskey.
He is. He is.
Yeah. Not a connoisseur, but just drinking it.
So that's a good way to get this started. So what started you over the years of our sweet married life together? He's had some collectible things, baseball cards and comic books and whatnot. And I have just been like, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that wasn't worth anything. I wish I would have put it all into whiskey.
Yes. We're going to be selling those. So this is something he's dabbled in and brought me into, and I've really enjoyed it. So for this podcast, I want him to teach me what he has learned and show me how to taste, how to appreciate, and we'll get into that more a little bit later. But what brought you into the bourbon and whiskey world, if you will?
I guess two things. There are maybe three. But one was when my parents both had passed away, we had found some old whiskey bottles and liquor bottles, and we were actually bringing them back to the house, and one of the bottles started to leak. And so I started looking at which one was leaking, and what it was is the cork actually, I guess, dry rotted or something, and it's what caused it to leak. But anyway, it was a nice, pretty blue bottle, and it's Jim Beam. It looks like an old decanter, I believe, from when we were in Illinois, because I grew up in Illinois. I was born in Alabama, and the state stamp seal was still on top, where it looks like it had been broken a little bit, but the bottle was pretty much full except for what had leaked out. So I believe it had a 1963 date on it. 8-year-old Jim Beam, bottled and bond, because I think most of the stuff at that time was bottled and bond. But it smelled really good, and then decided to taste it, and it was probably one of the smoothest things I've ever had. Problem was, we ended up drinking the whole bottle over the period of time. So.
Well, that's actually not true, my love.
Yeah.
Kind of put it in the pantry because at that point we had no place to put our items, and I accidentally knocked it over, and it proceeded to pour half of it into the floor of the pantry. I pulled it up as quick as I could, but a lot of it, yeah.
No wonder why.
Okay. Yeah. Did I not tell
you
that?
I thought it was that? The devil's share. It leaked out of the.
Well, somebody made me knock it over. But it's a beautiful blue bottle, very intricate. We'll put pictures of it up on our Facebook page, so take a look at it. It's really beautiful, and it does. It actually says on the back, not Jim Beam, but James B. Beam Distillery in Claremont, Kentucky, And it is, what does it say right here? It's very hard to read. 100 proof, bonded bean, Kentucky Straight bourbon whiskey.
We actually found another bottle later on. It was another decanter that still has most of it still intact. So
100 proof.
Kind of saving it.
Yeah. Oh, and it says, hold on. You're right. It said 1963. And then there's a, I don't know what that says. It's too worn. And then it says 1971. 4/5 quarter. What does that mean?
It's a fifth.
But
bottle and bond, too, for those that don't know, it actually means it has to be 100 proof. It's a government type of stamp type of thing that you'll see various bottles say bottled and bond, but it always has to be bottled at 100 proof and at the same distillery that same year, I believe.
That's interesting.
Don't hold me to all these facts, but...
Like I said, we're amateurs at this.
I do have ADD, so I might be rambling somewhere.
We are amateurs at this, and that's what I think makes it so unique, that we don't know what we're doing, but it's fun.
Yes, and then how did you get, you have a story or background with your Nana.
I do have a background with my Nana. My dad's mom, we called her Nana, her name was Mary Frances, devout Catholic grandma, wonderful woman. She had 6 children, and that is why she drank bourbon, probably, but her youngest played football at the University of Alabama. Under Bear Bryant. So she was a big football fan, big fan of her children, but she loved her bourbon. And I don't mean this woman was an alcoholic. That's not what I mean. She just appreciated a good bourbon, a good Bama football game. And I actually have a hat of hers that she would wear to these games. Now, this is back in the 70s, so it's this tacky little Alabama hat with a bill and a poof ball on it. And we'll put that one up on the web. On the Facebook page too, but just a great lady, and she just loved a good bourbon ale.
I wish I would have actually known her.
Yeah, she died when I was a freshman in college, but great lady and just a lot of fun. And at her wake, they put her drink up on the mantle and said, here's one for Nana. And one of my cousins who helped with her hospice care, she was drinking just a little bit because it was a celebration of her life. But what she didn't know was her sister was taking sips out of the drink up on the mantle. And she thought, she's really here drinking her drink with us. It's kind of funny. And then her mother, which was my Granny Green, which was a great grandmother, always made an eggnog at Christmas, homemade eggnog. And of course it had bourbon in it. So as a child, my first taste of bourbon was at the Christmas parties. We had our eggnog, and it was just so yummy. And it's a tradition we've passed down now.
And it's a very good tradition.
It is a good tradition. She did that. So you put a little bit in there in the recipe, and then you pour as much as you feel like is necessary into that eggnog. So over the years, just bourbon itself smells good to me. It brings back great memories. And now with Layton's hobby, I've come to acquire a fun taste of it. It's all different. It's all got different flavors and different, I don't know, aromas. And it's not just about drinking at a football game.
Yeah, and just a little bit more about us. We tailgate pretty much every Alabama home game.
Yes.
We both graduated from the University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Don't hold us against hold it against us if you go to Auburn or went to Auburn.
We love our Auburn people. Hey, it's all good.
But so that's part of the background, too. And then... We kind of, one of the other things I was mentioning at the beginning, I guess, was how I got into it. One of the fundraisers that our school would have is...
Our children's school, yeah.
Yeah, is the, like a liquor barrel, or not one liquor barrel, a liquor basket. And my goal was always to try and win that over the last several years, I guess about 5 years back, maybe.
Yeah.
So we had won it a couple of years and never did anything with the liquor. It just sat there. And so I started going through it and then started taking some of it to tailgating. And so I've come up with kind of a thing where we either put it on the
tailgate.
Are you
going to give
our
secret out?
Yeah.
And I'll go ahead.
Yeah. Either we either put it on the tailgate table after tasting it, or we hide it behind the TV. So the hiding behind the TV is actually what we drink.
Not it's our top shelf.
Not what's usually on the tailgate table to drink, like such things like vodka and stuff like that. Usually go out on the tailgating table.
Yeah, that's a unique flavor in itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, we put nice stuff on the tailgate bar. We just don't put the good stuff. We're like, come here. Because we don't want the of-age college students drinking it. They're not going to appreciate it. They're going to mix it with their Coke and then be on. No.
Yeah. So, and then the, so I guess the, and the third thing that kind of brought me into it is the, what was I going to say? No, I totally forgot. You have to edit this.
The two things that go first are your memory and then, I can't remember. Well, if you remember it, just, hey, jump back in. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, think about it. What was it related to? Yeah, see, I got notes. I know I'm going to forget
that's
crap.
That's a problem. With having ADD. But, oh, so the other one, now I remember. It was our youngest daughter does a lot of travel softball. So myself and another dad, one day was we walked across the parking lot from where we were staying in the hotel and went to the bar. And it just so happened this county in Alabama just went wet, which means they just added alcohol to the to their list of things they can sell. So it was brand new. So we just was like, let's do some shots. So we sat down at the bar and we picked a green bottle out. And lo and behold, the bottle was called, or the whiskey that we saw was called Tullamore Dew, which is an Irish whiskey, which we will taste later on in one of the podcasts. But, so, and then ever since then, we, at most of the travel softball tournaments when we're staying away, I'll bring a couple bottles of whiskey, and some of the other dads would actually participate and bring different whiskey bottles as well. So that was the third thing I was thinking of. That
now I'm just going to say they weren't drinking at the ball games. This was this adult time at night in the lobby of the hotel. So yeah, we were not partaking with the softball players.
And it eventually got, actually the coach started to bring various things, and I had an orange bucket from Home Depot. Shout out Home Depot. And I would carry the bottles in that. So what I would do is carry waters throughout the day, and it also worked. I don't know if anybody that does travel stuff, there's a little fan you can put, and it actually, a mister's connected to it, and put it on top of a Home Depot bucket. So during the day, I would actually have water in there for
cooling down,
to help cool down in the 90 plus degree heat and 90% humidity in Alabama, in various states in around us that we go to the softball games. And then at night, I would put whiskeys in it and then bring it down to the lobby of the hotel.
He'd been known as the guy with, hey, where's Layton and his bucket? Do you have the bucket? Where's the orange bucket?
Yeah.
So he got a little infamous over there. So again, why did we decide to do this? We just been listening to podcasts, just fun ones, and found a couple of bourbon podcasts, which some of them are hysterical and informative, and just they sound like they're having a good time. So we kind of looked around, and there may be some out there, but we just couldn't really find a married couple's perspective. It's either the men folk saying, my wife doesn't let me do this, she gets mad at me, or just two women that talking about it, about, and this tastes this way, and this tastes that way. But really, how do you, you know, tasting together as a couple, I just think is a lot of fun, and we, I think, can bring something to the table of hey, this is the way we do it, because I'm totally going to edit that out because it sounded stupid. But when Layton would come in and bring a brand new bottle home, this is how this came about. He comes in to me and he's like, hey, here, taste this. Or no, it started with, here, smell this, because he would bring home a new bottle.
Yeah, true, because you like the way it smells.
I do like the way it smells. It should be a candle. Yeah. And I would, oh, I'd smell it. And then he'd come back with it in a little glass. Here, taste this. And he would give it to me straight. And then he would put some water in it and come back with, here, taste this. But every time he brought it to me, it was, here, taste this.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be fun to go through that process here on a tasting. And we're going to taste a different, maybe one to two, depending on what we feel like, whiskeys a week. And taste it in that order. Smelling it, straight, a little bit of water, over ice. And then he would end up mixing it with Coke. I like to mix mine with ginger ale.
Yeah, or ginger ale.
Yeah. So we'll do both. So,
and as far as me describing stuff, I don't get into like the technical things like, oh, it has notes of floral and cinnamon. No, it's going to be pretty much like, oh, that burned or it didn't. So it's going to be real complicated. I may read out some of the descriptions that they give. But as far as for me, that's how I kind of view them, and then they may taste sweet and things like that, or they may, the burn may be late or at the front, but that's kind of how I roll.
It's a real man description.
Yeah, it won't be too fancy. Plus, she already said I'm not a man of too many words, so I'm going to try and hold back as many big words as I can.
Big words. Hey, big words are fine.
But that's how the tasting kind of goes. And I set it up where I started getting so many that I had to put it on the spreadsheet because I was like, I can't remember what I like, what I tried, what I didn't try. And so it started getting kind of carried away. And so I was like, I have to figure out a way to organize it. So I put it all on a spreadsheet.
You're not lying. We can actually put that up on. If you want to see what his spreadsheet looks like, we can put that up as well.
Yeah. The sad reality is that it's about a three or four to five page spreadsheet.
It's a big collection. He has taken over the cabinets in our little downstairs kitchen in there. So, All right. So after we taste it, we're both going to give it a nice little ranking to whether we like it or not. We thought we'd find a neat, fun way to describe the whiskey. So we're going to either clink it.
Or sink it, which means pour it down the sink.
Yeah, it was so bad that you would just pour it down the sink.
We really wouldn't do that. I'd take it to tailgate and put it on the tailgate table.
But not behind the TV.
Yes.
So, or you know what? We may switch it up. Maybe it's a tailgate or treasure. So tailgate is something we would like to share with the masses out in the world. A treasure means we're going to keep it and just invite a few people.
You'd have to ask for it, like a secret code word or something.
It's a secret. Oh, we have to come up with a secret code word.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be fun. All right, so on to the tasting. What are we trying today? Or what are you letting me try today?
All right, to kind of stay with one of the things I had mentioned before about how we first got into trying this, I went with the Tullamore Dew, which is an Irish whiskey. It's a single malt, four cask finish, aged 10 years. So here's their description. It says on the nose, a complex raisiny fruit, malt, sweet wine, spice. The taste is malt, fruit, wood, spice, graham, light wine, and the finish is long fruit, malt, wood, spice, and chocolate. That's their description of it.
I like chocolate.
Yeah. So I don't think I've ever really tasted all the chocolate in it.
Okay. So now what am I tasting today?
All right. We're going to try, which I've tried before, and you probably have too at one point, but it's been a while. So this, to go along with the theme of the one of the first things I ever tried, this one is Tullamore Dew. It's not the first one I tried, but this is one of the Tullamore Dews. It's in that same line of Tullamore Dew. It's not the, like I said, not the green bottle that I originally had tried. But anyway, but it's a single malt, four cask finish, aged 10 years. So basically what they do with this one is they put it in four different casks, which could, is Oloroso Sherry, a port, Mandara cask, and then also it's been put in bourbon barrels, I believe.
What do you mean by cask?
That means just the barrel itself.
It's like the big barrel.
Yes. Yeah, okay. The big drums.
Okay.
And this is the description that they give. And the nose, it says complex raisiny fruit, malt, sweet wine, spice. The taste says malt, fruit, wood, spice, graham, light wine. And the finish says long fruit, malt, wood, spice, chocolate.
I like chocolate.
Yes, maybe. But I don't think I've ever actually had one that would taste like chocolate. But
I would try it if it tasted like chocolate. So
I'm going to give it a try.
Okay. And he's got these cute little glasses. We've learned that you're supposed to... Glencairn, is that the name of the glass?
Yes.
They're all famous for whiskey tasting and whatnot.
Yes. Now, see, me, this one's... It's got a little bit of burn, kind of consistent. And it is making my tongue tingle.
Your what? Tingle? Tongue tingle?
My testicles tingle. No, that's what it is. It is making my tongue tingle.
I promise, this is our first tasting of the day. We have not been doing this all day. He almost took the whole... Oh my gosh, he left me nothing.
Here, taste it. Taste it, taste it.
It smells good.
Yeah, it is.
You forgot to smell it.
It is kind of sweet.
It smells sweet.
A little bit. And most Irish whiskeys are 80%. Or 80 proof, which means they're 40% by alcohol by volume.
Gotcha.
So anytime anybody ever tells you proof, divide it in half, and that's what the alcohol content percent is.
Oh, I did not know that. All right, so it smells good. So by smell, I like it. Okay, I feel a burn, not at the front, but at the back. bear with me, I usually cough when I taste these. Doesn't mean they're bad, it just means I'm a lightweight. I like the aftertaste. I do, I like that.
Yeah, I don't taste chocolate. That ain't happening.
Mm-mm. I don't taste any chocolate either. But it's a pleasant taste. It's not anything harsh. Smooth. Is smooth a good word?
Yeah.
It's kind of
smoother,
smooth.
The better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't burn as bad as some of the higher high proofs.
So what makes the burn? Is that the proof?
I think it's various things. So it could be, a lot of times I think it is the proof, because the higher proof, the higher the burn, because the more alcohol content.
Right.
But then again, you get some that surprise you that may have a higher proof and they don't burn. So I think it depends on how much they're aged and things like that. I'm going to add a little bit of water to it just to...
Can I add some water? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, but so it not necessarily does the proof mean more burn.
Okay. Are you putting a little water in it?
Yeah. And it just smooths it. That's totally smoothed out now, I think. There may be there may be a little fruity flavor now, but a little more burn than before.
That's what was interesting to me was by him, he would bring it to me, here's got water in it. I'm like, and, but it does change the flavor slightly.
Yeah, there's, I guess, some argument or debate over whether you should put water or ice or Coke or ginger ale or anything. To me, I don't really care what you want to put in it. As long as you enjoy it, it really doesn't matter.
Shit, that's wrong. Oh, about to pick up the wrong sample. So now we're going to put some ice in it. I will admit, I like the flavor of a whiskey once the ice is put in it, which, again, puts a little bit of water. So.
I do, too.
Huh?
I do, too. I like ice in mine. I like it cold anyway, but it just depends. Sometimes I just want the warmth of it neat.
But I'm going first this time.
Should taste similar to probably the water. And there's a lot of it's chemistry. That's one thing that I started liking about it. I always liked chemistry and science, and it is a lot of that, even though it doesn't seem so on the surface.
What do they call them in the distilleries? Do they have a name for the guys that mix it? Because a mixologist is like a bartender.
Head distillers is what I guess they would call them.
Oh.
So they get to go in and pick all the barrels and taste them and things like that.
The one
so.
They're going
to
put it in.
That would be a fun job.
It would be.
I would love to do that.
So he's out there for hire. Anybody want to hire him to come do your tastings? He'll be totally honest with you.
But like I said, my descriptions aren't as detailed.
You're good. So I've got mine now in a perfect little... We've got these glasses, and the descriptions are different. You're supposed to drink different whiskeys in the different glasses. And this one is the perfect Irish whiskey glass. And
yeah.
Says under the glass description, Irish whiskey must be made in Ireland. Well, that's a no-brainer. And must be distilled 3 times. So it's a little stemmed glass. Almost looks like a short, squat, fat wine
glass.
Looks
like a brandy glass is what I would think when
yeah.
I saw it.
What if
so
it teens?
I'm not so sure about
no,
that.
No, it doesn't teen. Wait.
The Irish thing.
Yes, it does. Did you hear that?
Sure.
Sorry. I love sound effects.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty little glass to drink it in. And it feels fancy and it fits in your hand really well. So, all right, so let's mix it with, you want to make sure it's with Coke, and I'll mix mine with ginger ale.
Okay.
So anyway, ginger ale.
This is my bottle of fizz.
Oh,
yes.
Here's your bottle. And then we'll put a little bit of ginger ale in that one. And then we'll put some...
Yeah, Coke in there.
All right, Coke in that one. All right, so again, you don't have to mix yours with stuff. There's some fancy ones that probably you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, and there's some, for me, the higher dollar ones that I would be kind of mad if someone mixed them. Maybe a little water or ice, but not a Coke or ginger ale. And I think it's because I'd rather, if someone's going to mix something, I'd rather have them mix something cheap than something that you're paying a whole lot more for. And the whole bourbon and whiskey market is really crazy because you have the secondary market just runs with a lot of these products that are out, and there's just so many of them, so it makes it a lot harder for the average person to afford it and to get their hands on it because they're so limited on what they come out with. So that's one reason why I would get upset about, and we'll review some of those later on, But you know, it's not one of the go-tos. If someone comes over and we're having a special occasion, I would go to maybe one of those. But in the everyday drinking world, it wouldn't be worth doing that because you can't replace it.
Right. And so you're not going to take a bottle of Pappy and mix it with a Diet Coke.
No, no. And my thing.
Well, unless you want to, you do
well,
you.
If,
but
hey, if you bought it, do whatever you want to with it.
Yeah, it's probably the best Diet Coke and whiskey you've ever had.
That's right, and that's what I think. There's a quote from one of the Jim Beam guys or something that goes along the lines of that. You know, that's the best. If you want to mix Coke with a 25-year-old whiskey, that's the best 25-year-old whiskey and Coke that you ever had.
Absolutely. Our thing is, you do you. So. It mixes well, and I do notice that over the years, or I have noticed over the years, that if it's a bad tasting straight or over ice, and you think, ugh, but when you mix it with Coke or ginger ale or whatever, then it's servable, or it's okay to taste good. Does that make sense? That's why we want to go ahead and give it a flavor tasting all over. It might stink or not be good over ice, but you mix it with a Coke and you're like, no, that's not too bad.
And like in my spreadsheet, I actually have like the cost, how many bottles I have, what the proof is, and then I also have a category, would I buy it again, would I not buy it again, do I like it neat, do I like it mixed, that kind of thing. So
he not lying, he does.
And that's why there's somewhat of a system that we try to use, and Christy's already mentioned, but
all right, so that's what brings us to now. Do we clink it, meaning we like it and would partake, or do we sink it and pour it down the drain?
The problem with Telemore Dew is that it's kind of like my first love, someone after you.
Aww, he's so nice.
I'm brown-nosing.
Yeah.
But Telemore Dew, because that was one of the first ones that we ever tried, or I ever tried.
So it holds a special place in your
heart?
Yes,
and so I have a hard time like pouring it down the sink or not wanting to taste it again. And there's various levels of Telemore Dew and different kinds. There's one called Phoenix, has a lot higher proof. There's just the regular one, which, like I said, this one's a 10-year we're trying. There's a 15-year one. There's all these other ones. But I would say keep it. I would say
so we'd clink it?
Clink it, yeah.
So we would clink it?
Yes, I would say clink it.
All right, so let's clink it. We're going to say this is a keeper. What is the price range on this? Is this a doable? Like, can you pick this up for a decent cost? Oh, he's lost his spreadsheet. It's behind your thing. Behind your pad. iPad. There it is.
That is one other thing, because I have cost on there. At least I should. Let's see.
I mean, can you find this in any liquor store or beverage shop?
In most places, they would have Telemore Dew. So it'd be like $55 a bottle. Somewhere around there. Now, Alabama has an ABC
taxation
state process that it has to go through, and everything goes through the ABC board.
Which means it puts more money
onto the... Alabama's one of the highest tax states out there with liquor. So it may not be the same price as elsewhere. It probably would be cheaper most other states, I would think. But yeah, it's about $55.
Okay. So it's doable. It's doable.
Yeah, it may be towards the higher end. I mean, if you can find one for under $40, it's really good. That's kind of my... And
we'll do that too. We'll taste some really inexpensive ones, and then if we can get our hands on some more expensive one without having to pay for them, we'll go for some higher levels as well.
Without me camping out.
Yeah, well, that's another story for another podcast. So, hey, I think that's it for today. That's our tasting for the day. We did our Telemore Dew. Oh, before we stop though, sometimes we come up with signature drinks, if you will, because we like to mix it with something, or we relate it to an event or whatnot. So today, Lane's going to tell you about his one drink before we sign off.
It's got a very catchy name, but it's a good summer drink, I think, that you take some Mountain Dew White, which I think is ice, I think they call it.
I think so.
And that, and which has lower calories than Coke or ginger ale, just for those weight conscious people. And mix it with just the regular Telemore Dew would be fine, and squeeze a lime in it, and you can call it a doo-doo.
Now, you hear me and my silence, because he goes, I got a good name. And I just looked down and went, really? We're going to call it a doo-doo?
It's a very good summer drink.
And let me just tell you, it is good. Don't get me wrong. It's very tasty. I look at him like, really? All his friends, they become 12-year-old boys, and they think it's hysterical. I'm drinking a doo-doo.
It is. It's very good.
it is good. So you should try it. But you could name it a different name if you want. Cause
you could even say a doo-doo on the rocks.
Oh, my God. Okay, on that note, I do think it's time to wrap it up. But we appreciate you listening. I'm Christy.
And I'm Layton. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Check out our Facebook page and Instagram at Married Mash. Also, if you want to email us, we're at marriedmashpod@gmail.com. That's marriedmashpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Give us some takes on what you think, and hopefully we'll get better as we do this, since this is our first one. Thanks so much.
Thank you.